people have said that earlier today. And as long as we keep parking relatively inexpensive, cars will remain a way of life. They don't have to be. That's all.
Thank you. Thank you all.
The next three, Ian McKenzie, Wendy Chung, Tony Schwartz, and then our last two will be Ben Schoenberg and Bill Welch.
Good afternoon. Welcome.
Good afternoon.
Go ahead, please.
My name is Ian McKenzie, and I'm here to support the ordinance as introduced and oppose any amendments that would add parking minimums to new development. I'm a member of the Northwest District Association Transportation Committee, but I'm only speaking on my own behalf. I love Northwest. It's a true 20-minute neighbourhood that achieves so many of the things that we set out to do in Portland. It's really walkable, and most of the daily necessities of life can be found in the neighbourhood or in a short walk to the Pearl or downtown. It's why I choose to live there without a car. A lot of other people like the neighbourhood too, which is probably why it's one of the fastest growing parts of the city. It's also an income diverse area. Some of the census tracts in the heart of the Alphabet District have median incomes of just $28,000 or $35,000, which is far below the citywide average. In the neighbourhood as a whole, 76.3% of the housing units are occupied by renters, myself included. I live in a 1927 apartment building, which is typical of the market rate but relatively affordable housing that can be found throughout the neighbourhood. With 75 units and no parking, my building would be illegal today to build in most parts of the city, but luckily would still be allowed in Northwest absent any changes. The demand to live in Northwest is so strong that any parking minimums probably wouldn't result in less construction overall. Developers would find ways to make the huge cost of underground or mechanical parking work for their performers. What would probably change is what is built. Buildings like the 120-unit zero-parking building, the Tess O'Brien Apartments, which was approved by the City Council at appeal last year, would no longer be possible. It wouldn't be physically possible to fit the 40 parking stalls required on the awkwardly shaped site. In order to reduce the number of parking spaces required, the developer or another developer would probably have chosen to build fewer but larger units and to market them as luxury apartments. I've heard Commissioner Fish lament many times, including today, that almost all the new construction in Portland is aimed at the luxury market. Any changes to city code that start adding massive new costs for parking would only exacerbate that trend. The wonderful mix of housing types Northwest has now would be less possible in the future. So I'd urge you not to consider any requests to add new parking minimums. The City Council added parking minimums in much of the rest of the city in 2013. We're now 3 years into that experiment, but according to BPS Director Anderson, when she was speaking to Planning and Sustainability Commission in March, no analysis has been done by the city to date on what effect that's had in affordability. Since last year, we've been in a declared housing crisis, and I don't think now is the right time to further experiment with adding parking minimums back into city code. I love my neighbourhood, and I love the way it's growing, so please don't change that. Thank you.
Thank you. Good afternoon, Wendy.
Good afternoon. I'm Wendy Chung. Mayor Hales, Commissioners, thank you for allowing this testimony. I'm so glad that Ian went right before me because he helps to illustrate some of the points that I'd like to make today really strongly because he lives in a 1927 building with relatively affordable rents, which, by the way, could never add parking if it wanted to. So unlike other neighborhoods across the city which have the minimum parking requirements, Northwest is unique in that we have a large historic district, as you know, not just with historic single-family homes like Irvington or Laurelhurst or Eastmoreland or places like that, but we have multi-family, reasonably priced apartments that they can't add parking, whether they want to or not, because they're historic, right? And so when we talk about equity, and I think Commissioner Fish talked about this. One of the things I haven't heard is a lot of discussion about equity in terms of, I've heard general statements, we need more housing. Of course we need more housing. We're in a housing crisis. We need less cars. Of course we need less cars because we've got carbon problems, right? Nobody is disputing any of that. I do think that we're not in parking nirvana in Northwest. Mayor Hales, respectfully speaking, I grew
transit
up on the
nirvana,
east.
Nirvana, not parking nirvana.
Okay, transit nirvana. It's
I
really,
know you're not parking nirvana.
Okay. Well, I grew up on the East Coast, and I spent several years in New York City where families live there with kids, and they got on the transit, and they got off the transit. That's just not possible in Northwest. So people with children, people with elderly relatives whom they're taking care of, or disabled people, all three of those groups are represented on my street alone, Okay, they need cars. And while I might say, well, you know, from an equity standpoint, unless you want to push everybody, all of those people out, and have single professionals who are able to live in 300-square-foot units that are by no stretch of the imagination are affordable and with no kitchens, so they can eat out because they can afford to eat out, right? They can afford to rent a car on the weekend and go to Mount Hood. This is an equity issue. And one of the things I think people are not understanding is that Northwest is not a rich neighborhood. If you look at the documents I gave you, you'll see this spring survey on medium one-bedroom rents. And you'll see Northwest District has an average rent of $1,360. These are for one-bedroom units. The highlighted section of the Pearl, Old Town, Chinatown, and downtown Portland, which is actually part of the central city. As you know, Northwest is not part of the central city. But for whatever reason, we are the only neighborhood outside the central city that wasn't included in the parking minimums. All we're asking for is not special attention. We're just asking not to be discriminated against because we happen to have fallen out of the ordinances that were passed for everybody else. Regarding affordability, a building like the one that Ian lives in, just to give you an idea, has a one-bedroom for rent, and there's a link to it in your letter, for $995. Compare that to $995 for a 250-square-foot micro unit on Thurman. I mean, which is actually more affordable? Also, much has been made about Tess O'Brien and the 120 units that were built, and that, you know, whether or not they would have been built had they not had had requirements for parking. I just want to point out that the Bike Org article that cites that project clarifies that those units are 300 square feet. They're $1,200 to $1,400 a month. Frankly, if something like that weren't built in our neighborhood, I'd be thrilled. I'd be happy if Commissioner Novick or Saltzman were able to build a whole bunch of affordable housing units with or without parking. And I agree with Commissioner Fish that those units should be exempted from the minimum parking requirements. But I think that what it does is unfairly, not passing it in our neighborhood, unfairly discriminates against people who live in historic buildings, whether they're single-family homes or, more importantly, those apartments, and then separately, people with families, disabled relatives, and others.
Thank you very much, Wendy. Thank you. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. My name is Tony Schwartz. I live at 17th and Irving in Northwest. I was listening to the folks who are advocating for the status quo, and I was thinking we all share the same goals, which are less cars, less pollution, more truly affordable housing, and more income diversity in the neighborhood. I am a proponent of a code revision to include the parking minimums in the Northwest District for all kinds of different reasons, but primarily so we are taken into the city. And so the city can revisit these macro issues on a citywide level. It seems to me that it's fanciful to believe that not keeping or not putting in more parking minimums in our district would all of a sudden result in less cars is simply untrue. I haven't heard any experts really talk about that in depth. I've heard about developers, but I can tell you from my own personal experience on 17th and Irving, we had a developer from Eco House come and redevelop, it's called Hoyt. It's an old Powell's bookstore warehouse that was empty, and we were thankful that it was developed into studio apartments. Those studio apartments are now running for $1,100 to $1,500 a month. That is not truly affordable. We all know that. We know where they're marketing to. In discussions with that developer in a neighborhood meeting, that developer told us he's marketing to those folks with bicycles, to those folks who walk. Great. But I can tell you, walking my dog, walking to and from work to my office downtown, walking to and from the theater, I see people getting in and out of their cars, to and from that Hoyt building every day. I don't think this district should be used as a guinea pig for what I believe are probably unproven, fanciful public policy notions. We all want less cars. We all want to live in a city that is about people and not four doors and four wheels. Take us into the rest of the city, think about the macro issues, and then we can all work together. And I guess in thinking about it, the flip side is get rid of the parking minimum citywide and see how many folks will come into this building and into this room when you try to do that. We should work on this issue as a city and not allow our district to be used as a guinea pig. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you all. We have a couple more. Is that right?
And then two more, Ben Schoenberg and Bill Welch.
Thank you for waiting and welcome.
Welcome. Commissioners, I'm Ben Schoenberger. I'm a board member for the housing advocacy group Housing Land Advocates, and we're focused on housing affordability issues. I'd just like to open by saying that parking makes housing more expensive, period. It's amazing that we're still having this discussion. Your own planning department did an analysis in 2012 in advance of the 2013 change that demonstrated this. There have been many academic studies on the issue. The Donshoop Bible that was being waved around earlier has documentation of how that's the case. Developers have said just anecdotally it's math. That's just, it requires both land area and on the alternative, it suppresses the amount of housing that gets created. On that issue of affordability, speaking to Commissioner Fish's point, our group is interested in affordable housing both in the subsidized category and in the low end of market rate category. And parking requirements, obligations, affect both of those things. They make it more difficult to keep rents down in both of those categories of housing. And that's a concern of ours. And it's also a statistical fact, both in Portland and elsewhere, that wealthier people drive more and own more cars than lower-income people. So when we're thinking about the fairness and the equity implications of this decision that you're considering, it's important to keep those two things in mind. The rallying cry of the people who are talking about making this change has been consistency and fairness. And I think it's important to recognize that different districts are treated differently. Different zones are treated differently. Different elements of commercial versus residential versus things are treated differently. And that's okay. There's unique circumstances that Northwest Portland has that aren't available anywhere else in the city. And the toolkit that you're thinking about using is one of those unique circumstances. And I think it's a tremendous opportunity for the city to do some testing of those operations issues of how is the best way to distribute those permits, whether it's by price or availability or a lottery, and how might that affect the availability of parking in the district? And could you then solve those problems on a management and operations issue and not make a commitment to a construction of an extremely expensive and, frankly, 100-year commitment to parking on site? And that's really what that issue is about as well, is when you build parking instead of housing, you're making a 100-year commitment to the life of that building. And if we have robocars in 10 years or in 20 years, have we made a huge mistake by doing that? If we have lost those units of housing that would otherwise have gotten built in Doug's example of a 50-unit building versus a 30-unit building, you never get those 20 units you might have had back, or you don't for the next 100 years until the building comes down. It's a concern that there hasn't been analysis of this, and that's our final point is, what have the impacts been of those 2013 changes? Could these problems be solved in other ways? As a group, Housing Land Advocates really believes that this is a big step backward for affordability and for the city.
Thank you very much.
Thanks.
Bill, you get the last word.
Right. Bill Welch, 2705 Northwest Pettigrove, Portland, Oregon. I've been on the Planning Committee for Northwest District Association and going to weekly meetings since 1976. And one of the problems we've had over those last 40 years or whatever it is that our neighborhood was attacked in two ways from two directions because we were a slum. I bought two houses at $10,000 a piece. My neighbors, I could have purchased, had a little bit more money, the entire block for virtually nothing. The problem here was we had such low land values that the Northwest industrial area was, and the zoning that allowed it, was moving towards the south because the land was so cheap, they could make tilt-up warehouses, tear down houses and make tilt-up warehouses. The same problem occurred on the eastern edge of the neighborhood when the Burlington Northern Railroad rails lines were there and warehousing was needed for that facilities. So they were in the process of buying property in the eastern edge and taking out houses for tilt-up warehouses. Now, not me certainly, but members of the Neighborhood Association worked together to try and figure out what we could do about that to save the neighborhood. And what we came up with is to allow denser zoning around the north and east sides of the neighborhood. The net result is that we have a lot more land than most of the neighborhoods in this town for high density development. We faced the parking problems that the rest of the town came apart on a year and a half or 3 years ago, and we had faced it for 15 years and we were not anywhere close to getting it done. These parking minimums are the only thing we can now use to keep the 30 pending units that are on these maps from having overwhelming the existing parking that's out there. I don't want higher rents. I don't want to lose affordable housing. I don't want more cars, and none of my neighbors do, but they cannot live where this is, and you guys use us for the experiment to pacify all of the other neighborhoods in this town. Please put in parking minimums at this time, if only for a small time to hold the dam.
Thank you very much. Thank you both. So I know there's some requests for more guidance from staff. So if you,
one other thing. You might want to look at this map.
Yeah, leave us copies. I've got
there's
copies
six,
of that for us.
There's five copies.
All right, thank you, Bill.
So appreciate colleagues, it. Before staff starts talking, I just, in response to Margot Black's testimony, was looking up on my phone. New York City is a city in America which has the least car ownership, but still one in three people own cars there. San Francisco has two in three families owning the car, and both those cities require one-to-one parking, one unit, one parking space. London still requires one unit, one parking space. Boston,
yes. I did
yes.
the opposite yesterday.
No, it doesn't. They do. So I just wonder, how are we thinking that behavior is, I mean, yes, we're different here. We don't have carry umbrellas. We wear raincoats. But I really was also struck, and I just have to get this off my chest, by Ms. Chung's testimony about equity. There's a lot of low-income people who live in Northwest who rely on the on-street parking to have their car because they work two jobs outside of Northwest, and they can't get there at 3 o'clock in the morning or late in the evening. They can't get back to their home. We're not making, the one thing we can all agree on is we're not going to be making very many more street faces, maybe a few at Conway where we might be creating a few streets, but the on-street parking is the thing that is absolutely limited. So given that we're going to be having all these more people who we've zoned for in Northwest, there's got to be some consideration that at least some of them are going to have a car. And in response to those who are saying that there's the 30-unit checkoff, I think that we should actually go back and look at it throughout the city and say that it's just one per five units, and it's whether you've got five units or more that you have to have a parking spot so that people have choices.
Thank you.
I'm done.
Questions?
So I have a couple of questions. First of all, Mayor, I can't remember a more thoughtful hearing.
Yeah, I was saying the same impression.
The folks on both sides of this issue have distinguished themselves in making the best possible case, and I'm genuinely torn. So I want to ask Joe a couple questions. In terms of why we would apply the parking minimums to Division and not to the Northwest District, what would be a rational basis to distinguish between Division and Northwest?
Well, you know, there's several. Originally, when we adopted the interim regulations, we did not apply this to any plan district that had its own parking regulations or approaches. So Hollywood, Gateway, Northwest, and there's a few others that have.
We didn't apply it to ones that had parking minimum, that didn't have parking minimums. So Hollywood didn't speak to parking minimums, so they get the base zone.
Oh, did I get it wrong? So there are a number of plan districts that have been treated in the same way, and Northwest had its own parking regulation. So I got part of that wrong. That's a distinction. When we adopted this, especially in a place like Division, part of what we were saying is we do not have the full set of tools present. We don't have on-street parking regulations, and that's in part where PBOT stepped up to develop those programs put in place. So we need this as a step along that way, and once we actually see what a parking permit program might look like there, you know, we'll see how this works in the suite of those. Northwest has got every parking tool that parking on-street parking regulatory tool that we had at that time, and you know, and it's got many that are going to look like what this new system might look like. Really, the decision that we're so it's that's another distinction of the Northwest District versus Division Midway. It's in a totally different sort of state of development vis-a-vis these parking issues. And Northwest is transit-rich, as the mayor pointed out. So in many ways, although Northwest is technically not part of the central city functionally in terms of its location and its density and its transit, it is unique in the city in that regard and kind of like the central city. Division, these other neighborhoods that are emerging haven't reached that point yet.
But Joe, isn't Northwest more parking challenged than Division is?
It absolutely is, which is why in the first place we went down this path with considering minimums. When we first took this up at the staff level, we puzzled over this in the same way. When we did the parking minimum study for the rest of the city, we looked at, is there really on-street congestion? How many parking spaces are occupied at different at peak periods? And we found, yeah, sort of they're congested. It's on the margin, honestly, for all these places where we applied the minimums, but it was close enough. The only place we found that was really congested was at 15th and Broadway around Irvington. In Northwest, almost every hour of the day, the on-street is fully occupied. So there's a distinction the other way. If the rule was we were applying parking minimums in places where we started to see this heavy use of on-street parking, Northwest, we absolutely are doing that. So that's in part why originally we proposed parking minimums for Northwest to be considered. What's the big change in circumstances here that I think we were willing to consider now that we were not when we first started this project? And that's the idea of capping the number of permits, of pricing them more aggressively, of allocating them differently. And if you think about really what's going to make a difference in whether a new tenant coming into the district perceives that there's a parking opportunity there or not, it's access to that permit. And so moving in a direction where we're even more aggressive or bringing that kind of tool into our on-street parking permit regulations is probably the bigger game changer than any minimum we might.
Is that anywhere in this ordinance?
No, that's part of the new program that PBOT's talking about bringing forward for the rest of the city. And I guess we would also be considering it.
But would it be appropriate for it to be in this ordinance? I mean, to me, that's an important condition. I mean, I do, after listening to the testimony, I do think the on-street permits are woefully underpriced.
Well, so a little bit it's a matter of timing, Commissioner, because that's part of this program that Commissioner Novick was describing needs to be brought out and vetted.
The toolkit.
The toolkit. And so Northwest has really most of the toolkit already, doesn't have these critical pieces, and our willingness to even talk about those critical pieces when we started this project wasn't so much on the table. It is now, It's part of actually Portland getting its head around this situation of how to be a dense, compact city that meets our objectives and manage a very limited parking supply.
Joe, let me just offer an observation. And I've been on the council long enough to see the parking wars flare up and become deeply polarizing. And then in 2013, there was a moment of détente, and there was broad support for an approach. And it was different being in this room with people getting behind a plan. We now have a portion of this before us today, which is the actual ordinance before us, has broad support in the shared parking. The amendment divides people pretty much down the middle, and there are very compelling arguments on either side. One of the things that we're trying to anticipate is the effectiveness of the toolkit and whether the mandatory minimums is necessary. The timing makes it a little awkward because we don't have the benefit of the shared parking. And as Dan suggests, we don't have a proposal in front of us as to how to fairly ration the parking. And I, for one, find it somewhat distasteful to say that the last person in the neighborhood gets the short end of the stick, because we're all part of the city. I don't think that's a rational basis, but there might be a different basis to do it. Doesn't that argue, at least for one of our options, to adopt the ordinance, but to, in essence, hold a decision or postpone a decision for a while on the parking minimums and wait till actually we come back and talk about these other the other tools in our kit? Before we decide whether we have to go, we want to revisit that issue.
Go ahead, but I have some thoughts about that.
Yeah, well, just as the mayor was explaining earlier, too, remember, we put those parking minimums in place as an interim measure. We needed a toolkit. The toolkit's starting to, you know, be ready to be vetted. Once we have the toolkit, will we want to reconsider parking minimums? I think that's an open question. But a little bit, that was our thinking when we adopted them.
So I was just reflecting. I mean, I want to concur, Nick, with your assessment of this hearing. It's one of those, you know, you say fairly often that, boy, this is a great job because we get to listen to people that are smart and thoughtful. And
I go home and tell my family, I can't believe I get paid to do this.
It happened
job.
Again. So that's one of the things that's amazing about Portland, and I'm not sure if it would be possible in another city. But so I appreciate everything we've heard. And I've really been on the fence about this, but this hearing has been very thoughtful and very thought-provoking, and actually the fact that there's some folks that came in with some history on the issue, I don't have as much history on the issue as Bill some others in the room have, Rick, have had on this issue, but I've had a little bit. In fact, so has Commissioner Fritz, because I think as a city commissioner with a different hair color and a young mom on the Planning Commission, we were both working on these issues a while back, too. And actually, I was reflecting on that history, and in each case, there's been a fear of the turn. You know, what's the Yogi Berra line? If you come to a fork in the road, take it. You know, we keep getting to these forks in the road about parking issues, and we usually venture down the fork in the road that goes towards a more European, less auto-centric model. But it's not, you know, we have to adjust. We learn as we go along. And so there have been adjustments, right? So we had the parking lid because we had an air quality problem, right? And there were predictions that that would be an economic catastrophe. We had this wonderful woman, Elsa Coleman, who managed that parking lid, and she unfortunately passed away. And Earl Blumenauer, who's not given to great one-liners that often, had the best one-liner I ever heard at her memorial service when he said, "Never has one woman made more men rich over their objections." Because she did. I mean, you know, the downtown real estate market blossomed because we didn't have so much of the downtown real estate devoted to cars. But we didn't quite see around that turn in the fork in the road. Then we got rid of the minimums. We got rid of the lid, and we went to the Central City Transportation Management Plan. You know, we've kept tuning this approach. Yeah, and then in 2013, we did get to a level of agreement about parking in Northwest that's salutary, and we also adopted these modest minimums in the rest of the city. More recently, again, with predictions of economic apocalypse, we tightened up on drive-throughs. I think that will once again turn out to have been a good and thoughtful progressive move, you know, turning towards the future that we want. So I think we would be ill-advised to adopt the minimum here today for just the reasons that you cited. I'm not persuaded that we got it completely right in 2013 on what we did do.
The author of that compromise is not persuaded either.
Yeah, it
was just a compromise.
Yeah, I'm not persuaded we got that right. Just like the parking lid needed tuning, just like our ratios have needed tuning over time, I think that piece of legislation that we approved in 2013 needs some tuning as well. I think the Northwest parking strategy needs tuning because I think we are underpricing the on-street spaces, and we have to think about equity and folks that can't afford to pay more than a modest amount per month, but $5 a month is crazy low. And so we've got to address that, and that won't be without controversy either. But I've been persuaded by this hearing, because I've been, you know, on the fence about this particular amendment, but I've been persuaded by this hearing that although the rest of this is fine and we have got consensus about that, we should move more swiftly on the changes to the Northwest parking strategies and the toolkit and not yet impose the minimums here. Because for one thing, sorry, I'm rambling a little bit, if Doug Clock's got it right and there have been 14 buildings at 30 units, we have created a perverse incentive. And maybe there's part of that that's good because modest-sized buildings might be better architecturally than great big ones. I don't know. But we ought to know this, and so we ought to do that evaluation of what has actually happened, you know, on the streets and in the marketplace as a result of what we did with those modest minimums in 2013. Is it working? Does it need to be tuned? And then get to the question of do we expand it to Northwest? So I think it's not timely. That's my sense.
Commissioner Novick?
I really appreciated this discussion and I'm delighted to have the rest of the council thinking about parking along with me. I spend hours and hours with Eric and Niebel and Mauricio Leclerc and Melissa McGreevy and the rest of our team talking about parking. I want to say that I understand where the Northwest Parking SAC is coming from because I'm sorry, having lived in, with all due respect to the streetcar and TriMet, having lived in New York and D.C., Northwest is not transit nirvana.
If I could
promise Portlanders that we're going to have the New York City subway next weekend, that I'd be perfectly fine abolishing all parking minimums, you know, by the weekend. But we don't have that. If the federal government took climate seriously and was building the New York City subway system everywhere, then that would be a different thing. So I understand the parity argument the Northwest is making. And particularly, I mean, it is absolutely true that parking is more constrained in Northwest than it is in Division, and we've adopted the parking minimums 2013 largely in response to a hue and cry in Division. But parking minimums are extremely problematic. I mean, I don't care what current prices are in Northwest for units with or without parking, which might be based on some short-term weirdness. If you increase the cost of something, you increase the cost of something. There is no way that requiring parking to be built with new buildings does not drive up the cost. And if we're building more parking, one of the things we're doing is enabling and encouraging more driving. And until we have all electric cars and all renewable electricity, enabling more driving is destroying the planet. So those are two really strong arguments against parking minimums that are hard to get around.
When would this next phase come back to council?
Well, I think it is something that's, I mean, the toolkit is something that I think is going to require a lot of public discussion because, for one thing, as to how you allocate permits in a constrained environment, I think that no solution is going to seem fair to people. So I think it's going to take a lot of thought and discussion before we come to the least unfair solution on that. But I'm hoping to, I want to get that process going, a broader public outreach process going really quickly, and plan to bring something in the next few months. It may be, though, that before that, we might want to pilot a new approach in Northwest in response to the cry we're hearing from that district now. And one of my guiding principles in life is Chris Smith is smarter than I am. He demonstrated that in the year 2000. We were working against.
He's really smart.
When we were working against a.
Chris, you went to Harvard when you were 11? Dear God, man.
when we were working against a Bill Sizemore tax cut for the rich, and he identified a key fact that I had missed, and it was my job to catch it. So when Chris threw out the other day, well, what about just carving new big buildings out of the parking permit area? And then I called Rick Michelson, and he said, hey, that sounds great. I was like, all right, maybe we've got an idea here. Now, that may very well not be legal, but it may be that some version of that where you allocate only some permits to the new buildings might be legal. I want to talk to the lawyers about that. I want to talk to more developers about that. I thought it was interesting. One developer we had here today said that he thought that there'd still be a market for such buildings. So what I want to do is, I mean, bring the full package to council as quickly as I can, but I think it's possible that we might come up with a daring, innovative thing to just try in Northwest in the near future. So I plan to talk to all of you about those ideas and talk to some developers and talk to the lawyers over the next couple of weeks.
Okay. So any other thoughts? And then do you want us to...
So what I'm hearing is that with the commissioner in charge of transportation would like to have more time okay. to look at both the citywide issues and the issues in Northwest. I am struck that the community, the neighborhood association and the advisory committee came with a unanimous recommendation to do the minimums, which I don't remember that much unanimity in our past discussions. And these are the folks that we've charged to look at what would work in Northwest and what wouldn't, and this is what they came to us. I would withdraw the motion, the amendment that I made with the promise that it is going to be looked at and brought back in a speedy manner. And including the Northwest District folks as experts.
Okay, that's helpful. Thank you.
Yeah, I would echo Commissioner Fritz's call for urgency. I mean, I do feel bad that, I mean, there is the word's been overused today, but there is an equity perception here that Northwest is somehow not being treated fairly vis-a-vis Southeast Division Street in that area. And I believe there's merit to that. But I also feel that I've learned today that there's a lot of tools at the disposal of Northwest that maybe haven't been fully explored. It sounds like they will be, and I think that's, you know, before I'm more comfortable deciding one way or the other on parking minimums, I'd like to see that, and including the shared parking, which I think we're about to pass. I think there's great creative potential there, too, for some great minds to get together and figure out ways that we can use shared parking to satisfy the needs of those residents who are going to have cars and want to park overnight primarily. So I don't want to see this disappear into the ether. I think there's a sense of urgency in my mind anyway that we owe people in Northwest a decision one way or the other very soon because there are enormous pressures in Northwest. And I certainly share the concerns about the impact on affordable housing, and that's something I want to try to understand better too in the next few months.
Mayor, if I could just add a comment. The one thing that I'm clearer about at the end of this hearing is I don't think the affordable housing component is a top three factor in this discussion. And I, with all due respect, I think we're in a market now that is so bullish that it is almost impossible to discern a marginal cost attributed to parking or no parking, in part because I think people are getting prices based on what they're advertising their units for because of the market dynamics and, as Chris said, scarcity. Now, the counter argument to that is the market's going to change at some point. So we shouldn't just plan for this feverish market. We should plan for the long term. We understand that. And that's, I think, a very fair point. But that, for me, even though housing's, you know, one of my core passions, that's not, for me, the principal driver. What I will say is that what Commissioner Fritz has, in effect, proposed right now is something that I deeply appreciate because she's essentially said she will table her amendment until we have some more information to bring the council along. And that is a sign of leadership because we can force issues and have votes that are divided and we can have winners and losers. Or we can absorb the information we've received, which was, I've said it earlier, Mayor echoed it, and all of my colleagues have said it. This has been a superb hearing. Could there be a third way or a fourth way that comes out of this that we hadn't thought about? I'm reminded in the course of this hearing that when we struck the compromise on mandated parking in Division. We called it an interim solution. We said we were going to revisit it during the comp plan, and we were going to look and we were going to test our assumptions. And, you know, I think we're long overdue, actually, taking a look at that. And we've had some compelling testimony that we may want to refine our whole proposal, because it appears to be creating incentives to do smaller scale development, which is quite contrary to our climate action plan. And if 30 becomes a dividing line where people are actually building smaller buildings because they're trying to save on the parking, that works against some of the other policies that we've adopted to get highest and best uses for our scarce land. But what, in effect, this is my takeaway from where we are right now. There is a proposal on shared parking which has broad support, and not even the testimony from Legacy has caused me to go against that recommendation. I was afraid he was going to snatch defeat from the jaws of victory, which is the risk of testifying on something that everyone seems to agree on, and there might be some argument you bring out that causes someone to reconsider. But that's done. But this hearing has caused each of us to think about this problem in perhaps new and different ways. And I love the suggestion that there may be a kind of a hybrid new idea out there that's worth exploring to see whether it's legal. I love the idea of looking at a different way of rationing and pricing these things. Interesting ideas have percolated, and the way I read Commissioner Fritz's action right now is essentially we're tabling her amendment and bringing this whole suite of issues back to council at an appropriate time and moving on the one matter before us that has broad support. And I deeply appreciate that approach to policymaking.
Well, thank you all. Thanks for an excellent hearing. The proposal as proposed will come back to council on second reading next week. Good work. Thank you very much. We're adjourned.
Well, you have you're here. You're leaving tomorrow.
You have a great trip.
Thank you. Have a good trip.
Thank you.